But we look at our text this morning and the first thing that came to my mind was, visions. We love visions. And we want visions and we like reading about visions. And so in the book of Acts, we have Paul doing all these things that Paul was going to do. And then during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So he did. Did the best he could to do everything that he needed to on the basis of this vision. We got all kinds of things out of it, not least of which is a pretty good hymn in some hymn books called Macedonia. No big surprise. And we look at this and we think, this is the way that God communicates to people. At least this is the way we want God to communicate to us. We want a vision. We want something that is undeniably divine to tell us what to do next. We think, well, visions, that's what we need. And visions are a good thing. And we read in the Old Testament, without vision, people perish, which is a misuse of the word vision compared to what we're talking about, but it still shows up there fairly often. But is this the only kind of vision? Because we also had some of Revelation read for us this morning. It starts off in this translation, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Well, that's another kind of vision. It's a little bit different than the other one. The vision that John got, that he then recorded as the revelation of St. John the Divine, as I still remember the book title, all the way back to the King James Version. This is a vision that John received. Not so much to tell him what to do next, but a vision of something bigger that he recorded for us. A vision that doesn't have this immediacy of go from where you are to somewhere else, but instead, what does this vision do? This vision expands our understanding about who we are and what the world is and what the world will eventually be. The book of Revelation is, well, it's confusing in parts, to be sure. It has symbolism that we don't always understand, but there are some things that are just obvious in it, and the most obvious one is that God will take care of the whole of creation at some point and restore it to what it should have been. The fallen world we live in now, with death and darkness and all of those things, will pass away, and this new world will be there. We don't exactly know when or exactly how. We don't know if what John writes down in the record of his revelation will be exactly that way and we'll finally figure out what all these things mean. But that doesn't matter as much as the realization that this is God saying, I haven't lost sight of the fact that the world isn't the way it should be. It will be fixed. It will be restored. It'll be so wonderful and so filled with the wonder of God that we won't even need day and night anymore. And maybe that's simply an image or a metaphor, but it's one that gives us hope and a direction to move to. It's a kind of vision. And we think, oh, if only we could have one of those. Where would we be then? How much more encouraged would we be about the current state of things, if we could get a vision like John did? And I don't dismiss that. I think we probably would. But let's take a look at what is in the Gospel of John. And we have a very interesting phrase, and it's the whole of John 14, 15, and 16, the high priestly prayers, it's sometimes called, is where John relates an extended discourse or pieces together parts of what Jesus said into an extended discourse. And there's all kinds of good things in there, but the one that struck me is found in right there in the middle. In this translation it says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And will remind you of everything I said. How does that relate to visions? Well, it doesn't relate to visions as much as it relates to what's happening with our desire for visions. And let me make it perfectly clear. The desire for a vision is a good thing. There is nothing wrong with asking God for a dramatic, unmistakably divine vision to give you direction in what you should do next. You may not get it, but if you do, rejoice in that. It's a glorious thing. People still get visions of this nature, even now. It's not limited to apostles. It's not limited to 2,000 years ago. God still dramatically lets us know things when that seems to be the best way. We don't always get them, and I certainly haven't always gotten them when I've asked for them. But they do still happen, and there's nothing wrong with those. But while we wait for that kind of a vision directly for us, if you will, we can also look to other visions. That's why, among many reasons, why the book of Revelation is in the Bible. We can look to the vision that John got and get comfort from that, and encouragement from that, and occasionally even direction from that book. The vision matters there. It's not directly to us, and it's not quite as pithy as the one that Paul got, but the vision is still there, and it still matters. But it's not the only way forward. What about the Holy Spirit? What's going on here? Well, when we ask for a vision to give us direction about where to go, and we don't get one, it's human nature to think we've somehow been let down. We asked for this thing and we didn't get one. If we don't have that, we have nothing. And that goes back to what I was talking about with the children in their time. When you're trying to find your way around when you're driving or walking or anything else, if you're under the impression that the only kind of sign that tells you where you need to go next are those enormous ones on the highway, you're going to miss some really important signs everywhere else you go, like street signs. If you're looking for an address and you're waiting to see the street name on a sign as big as a semi-trailer, you're not going to see the sign that's about twice as big as a piece of paper that is all we have for street signs. Because we see what we're looking for. This became embarrassingly perhaps obvious to me when I was driving around in Copenhagen a very long time ago, back in the 80s. We were there. We'd rented a van in Germany, which is nicely laid out and you can find it. Who driven in Copenhagen or been there at all? Okay, what do our street signs look like? They tend to be green with white things on them, and yeah, they're about this big. And they're about the same place everywhere. Well, if you look at them not from a directional standpoint, but from an aesthetic standpoint, they're actually kind of ugly, and they clash with things. So in Copenhagen, what they did back then is they took street signs, because they did have street signs, and they bolted them onto buildings, wherever it seemed to fit best, in ways that didn't clash with the building. It's like they're camouflaged. And so when you're looking for something like Hans Christian Andersen Boulevard, which you would think would be on a green sign about as wide as I can reach, and it's not there because it's bolted on a building lower than you're expecting to see it or higher than you're expecting to see it, it may as well be invisible. It took me a while to figure out what was going on. And then it took me and my navigator, who was my father, who had good eyes and all of that, it took us quite a while to navigate around Copenhagen, which is a biggish city, but not so big that we should have spent as much time as it took us to find anything, because we were looking for the wrong thing. And there, I can't remember whether we said it or not, but I'm certain we did at some point said, this crazy city has no signs at all. Because they weren't what we were looking for. Well, it's the same in our spiritual lives, in all of our other lives. If we're looking for something that's not there, we'll think nothing's there. If we're thinking that the only way God communicates what God wants us to do is through Paul's kind of vision, where we're asleep or we're awake and we get a dream or whatever it is that's unmistakably from God saying, go and do this thing. If we think that's it, we'll quite possibly wait a long time, maybe all of our lives for that, and never receive it. But is that the only way God communicates? What about the book of Revelation that tells us all kinds of really significant, really important things about God? If I'm praying to God saying, look, this world is completely messed up. I don't like most of it. People are hurting each other. Evil is everywhere. Will it ever, ever make sense? Will it ever be better? And I wait for God to appear to me in a vision saying, yeah, it'll be okay. If that's the only thing I'm waiting to see, I'm going to be very depressed because I've never gotten that. But if instead I look at not just Revelation, but lots of other parts of Scripture, but let's think of Revelation because that's what we read today, and I see John's vision that says at the end of things, when the world has gotten about as bad as we think it can get, which, by the way, most generations think they're in, when we get through that, in some way, dramatic, unmistakably divine, God is going to return and wrap this up. John looks at it in this way. We see different images and metaphors for this in different parts of Scripture, but we see that this happens, and then it gets better. And it doesn't just get better, it gets best. Because death is banished. Evil is banished. We have the world that we want to live in because we get to be there, but we leave all of our worst parts behind. Well, that's encouraging. That makes me feel better. But if I would have said I'm waiting for God to appear directly to me and tell me that and ignored Revelation, what would I have done? I would have been depressed. I would have thought God didn't care, that my questions were meaningless or irrelevant. Well, what about the rest of our lives? What about those questions we have where we don't have a whole book that talks about how we get to that end, like we do in Revelation? Well, that's when we jump back into the Gospel of John and many other places, but particularly in the Gospel of John. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. When we're wondering what it is that we should do next, and we ask for the vision, and we don't get one, and we look to Scripture, and I can't find a book in there or a passage anywhere that says what college I should go to or what church I should attend. Thankfully, you all read that book and got here. Whatever our big questions might be that aren't specifically addressed the same way that my questions about the ultimate end of this fallen world aren't there, I guess I'm abandoned, except I'm not. The Holy Spirit provides all the things that we need. Jesus said it. It's about as clear as you can get. The Father will send this Holy Spirit and will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, the "to you" is to the original disciples, but they recorded what Jesus said. And the Holy Spirit is going to take the place of that dramatic, very focused vision that we want. The Holy Spirit takes the place, if you will, of large passages of Scripture that address those kinds of things that we need to know. What's the point of a vision? Encouragement and direction. I think that's what they are. The Holy Spirit provides encouragement and direction all the time. Our friends at Knox are putting in an elevator to help with their accessibility struggles. That's a hard church to get into if you're not in good health. It's hard for me, and I'm mostly in good health these days, getting better all the time, thank goodness. And I don't know if any of them asked for a Macedonian kind of vision about what they should do, a ramp, a lift, a chairlift like we have, what it might be, but they didn't get one. And there's nothing in Scripture that says anything about accessibility other than that we should try and have it, because that's doing honor to all the members of the body, not just the physically fit ones. The Holy Spirit led them through a process that took longer than they wanted and involved more bureaucracy than anybody wants, I suppose. But the Holy Spirit led them through that whole process. And what does that leave them with? Where they should be. A direction and encouragement in it. Because unless a miracle happens, which is unlikely, that the person shows up on Monday and God miraculously installs a lift for them, this is now going to take some period of time. We don't know how long. The chances of difficulties arising are probably pretty high because it's a complicated thing in an old building. If we just think that all of this stuff happened through our own cleverness and our own willingness to work at it, it's very easy for us in the midst of difficulties in a project that takes time to think, well, this was dumb. We made a mistake. We should have done this other one that was cheaper or faster or better or other. But if instead we look at the Holy Spirit's work in the process that got us to where we are, it's so much easier to keep going for the rest of the process. When we believe that the Holy Spirit came to teach us all things, not just things about the nature of God, but teach us what kind of a lift we should have, it makes it easier for us to keep going when it gets difficult. We want visions, and that's fine. Asking for visions is an indicator of your belief in a God who provides visions and wants to do what it is that we ask. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not testing God in some weird, unnatural way. You're asking for what you want, and that's what God tells us to do. But when we don't get that, and when Scripture doesn't have things that very obviously apply to what it is we're worried about or we're considering, let's never forget that the Holy Spirit is not limited to the visions that we have. The Holy Spirit is also not limited to the content of the Bible. The Holy Spirit works through the experiences that we have with God because the Holy Spirit is God and moves us where we need to go, teaching us what we need as we go along, providing the gifts that we need to accomplish what it is that we want and need to accomplish. It's not a vision the same way those other two are, but it does what those other two things do, just in a slightly different way. We want to know what we should do. We want to have direction in where we should go, and we want it to be obvious and clear. It isn't always. Somebody once said, what we want is we want essentially a calendar of every day we wake up and there it is, and it tells us, go talk to this person, say these things and all that. We want all of those things. We wake up in the morning, we don't have that. What we have is we have Jesus sitting on the end of our bed saying, let me tell you a story. But the Holy Spirit works through those stories so we do know what we should do today. We receive everything it is that we need to live the life we're called to live. We've received and will receive everything we need to become the kind of people we were created to be. But if we're looking for it in dramatic visions, or we're looking at it in the exact text of Scripture, we'll probably miss it. Because it doesn't always come that way. It comes instead through committee meetings, through conversation, through prayer, through meditation, through the Holy Spirit speaking words of encouragement and comfort to us in an unimaginably large number of ways. But we won't hear them if we refuse to, and we won't see them if we refuse to. We have received everything we need, but we need to look for it where it actually is. If you're driving around Copenhagen waiting to find a sign with white letters on a green background, you're just going to drive around a lot. It's a very pretty city. It's well worth driving around a lot. You will see the mermaid a number of times as you circle the city looking for what you want. But if you're willing to look for what's actually there, the Holy Spirit will provide it, whether it's not getting lost in a foreign city or knowing what it is you should do next in the next stage or phase of your life. It will be there for you. But you have to be willing to see it for what it is and where it actually is instead of just where you want it to be. Amen.